Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, I hope it's the beginning of a great week for all of you. And enjoy the weather, enjoy the change of season, and hopefully you'll enjoy the show as well later on with all the interest in college. It's funny, I took a walk around. I have been by Wellesley College in Wellesley, Mass. Many times, but I took that, I guess it was about a 3-mile walk around the lake. What? Fabulous facilities. Oh my goodness. I think it's 60 if you don't get a scholarship or any kind. I think it's 60, 2,400 students. What is it? It's a stunning campus. Hillary, are you listening to me? I think it's 61,000 a year if you want to go to Wellesley. But wow. Also gave a talk in New York on Saturday, and you know, I got the Amtrak coming back. Nice, relaxing ride. Great trip. Talk went very well. Thank you. And start to come back and get between Providence and Route 128. Those of you in the New England area, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, the train comes to a complete stop. And the next thing I know, it's an hour and a half before I get where I'm going and everything. Everybody else gets where they're going because they had to get everybody off the train because there were some vandals, kids. You ready for this? They put metal objects on the tracks and the train hit the metal objects and it did some damage to the train and the tracks. And it was an hour and a half ordeal. I got claustrophobic. I just wanted to get out of there and go out Saturday night. I had plans. They had to get another train in. Everybody got shuttled over. And then the announcement came, and I applauded along with everybody else that these blankety-blank kids were arrested by the Amtrak police. I've been going up on Google to try to search it out. I haven't been able to find anything. But justice prevailed. I wish justice would prevail in our political system. And it really doesn't. It does, but it doesn't. The rules are the rules. The laws are the laws. And I know what Donald Trump is getting at, but... He's taken a little bit of a different task, trying to be a little more statesmanlike at times, but I've just been kind of worn thin by his behavior. Now, I always have to say this. If he ran against Hillary Clinton, I'd be out campaigning 24/7 for Donald Trump. But Ted Cruz is the guy. I mean, Ted Cruz, he's the man. I saw him in an hour interview with Sean Hannity, and I said, oh, boy, that could be me up there talking, not as eloquently and not as intellectually and not with the knowledge that he has, but position by position by position. You can either believe or don't believe what they're going to say. In Hillary's case, you don't believe anything she says. I mean, that's what's made it incredible. You know, I have a friend, I mentioned him on here. I like the guy. He's got a heart of gold. He'll do anything for you. Got a little bit of an issue with the truth. Nothing serious. I have never been affected. Everybody who knows him likes him. He just can't. So whenever he says anything, I have difficulty believing it. And you know, people say, well, why are you friendly with them? Well, everybody has, the only one I know who is perfect is me. So therefore, I must lower my standards in constructing interpersonal relationships. But I like the nickname that Trump gave Hillary, Crooked Hillary. You know, it's Lying Ted and Crooked Hillary. I don't know how much Cruz is lying. Every politician, let me say diplomatically, shades the issues. But I do know that Hillary is an obsessive liar. I don't think she could distinguish between the truth and a lie. And I think you can see that when she's lying, standing up there. She didn't even know she's lying. You know, the sniper bullets, Benghazi, on and on. The scandals, the right-wing conspiracy out to get her. There's no reason. There's no reason for the right wing to. I hope they are out to get her. I hope somebody's out to get her. When I say get her, I mean get her eliminated as a presidential candidate. No, it's not going to happen. It's just, you know, you hear she's going to be indicted. You hear she's not every day. The first news story I'm waiting to hear is that Hillary is indicted, but nothing will come of it. And I've said, I don't want to keep saying it every day because people will start turning the show off. It's not going to happen. So stop dreaming. She's going to be the candidate. And if the election were held today, Hillary would win the presidency. She'd win the presidency. At this point, you know, it looks like Trump is in cruise control. Get it? Play on words. Trump is in cruise control. If he just keep his mouth shut and doesn't force a broken convention, I think the nomination is his. But I still think that he's never really wanted this. He just has to. He has to play the part. He'd be crucified if it came out where he said, you know, I really didn't think I was going to be a candidate and I really didn't want the race. You know, like listening to Paul Ryan, he didn't want the Speaker of the House position. Oh, no. He doesn't want the presidency. Oh, no, he's eliminating himself until it's a draft movement. Well, it's not realistic that delegates and superdelegates that you see in the Democrat Party, that these people will be the determinants, the politicians behind closed doors, who the candidate will be. What right is it with the popular vote having been expressed? And in so many states, in quote, a legitimate democratic process, even though we live in a constitutional republic, that the people in this country have decided that it's either going to be Hillary or Bernie Sanders, and they've decided that it's either going to be Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. You don't like the rules, get rid of them. You don't like the candidates? Tough, you know what? I am absolutely appalled and disgusted with the Republican Party and these tactics. I'm disgusted with Donald Trump and his actions. He's gone way. He's just gone over the line, and I've been as patient as I can be. I just more than ever hope that Ted Cruz is the candidate, and in spite of what a lot of people think. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good guy who's in politics. You know, when you're in politics, some of the things you do are not classified as being a good guy. I don't want to see a broken convention. I don't want, as they say, the knight and silver armor coming in. There isn't any. And I don't like Ryan's proposed solution. 17 people ran. They should be in touch. They should be. 15 other people didn't make it. And now you're going to throw it right in the face of the American public and say that they're entitled? No. The two who are entitled, like them or not, are Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. I don't see a broken convention on the other side, but I would say the same thing as much as I detest Hillary Clinton and think Bernie Sanders is a radical left-wing kook communist. One of those two deserves the nomination. I think Bernie might have been able to win it if he went after Hillary with the emails, but things have held him back from criticizing her. She deserves the criticism. You know, you've got the president of the United States, and we can't get too invasive. I'll never forgive you, Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney. I'll never, ever forgive you for the consequences that this country has suffered. I gave a talk for a company in Manhattan down on Wall Street this Saturday. And then I had a 1.5-hour private meeting with the CEO of the company. They got 600 employees. And this, I didn't say anything. I don't bring up politics. Don't mix business and politics and your personal life. Don't, unless, you know, it's somebody you know and his situation's right. He said, Obama has killed his business and has killed the industry. He's not finished Barry Hussein Obama. As he goes off to Saudi Arabia, I wonder if he'll get on both knees and greet the prince. George Bush held, W. Bush held his hand. I thought that was disgusting. Something has to change. It's just has to change. And we, I think, honestly, out of the four candidates, there's one who's qualified to be president of the United States. I don't care that he's 44, 45. Who said anything when Barry Obama, who had no experience, became president? Oh, no, you couldn't dare say anything. That would be a racist comment. Oh, but Ted Cruz, 45 years old. Marco Rubio, same age. They're not qualified. Baloney. I'll take Ted Cruz in that office any day of the week. Donald Trump, a whole different mindset. Qualified in terms of knowledge of the issues? No. I'll tell you, I'm so frustrated. I'm almost about to say I'll take something different. All right, we're going to change topics. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, Jeffrey Salingo, There Is Life After College, What Parents and Students Should Know About Navigating School to Prepare for the Jobs of Tomorrow. Coming up after a break, Rachel Sherry.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
All right, our first guest of the morning here to join us. Her name is Rachel Cherie. It's spelled C-H-E-R-I-E. The name of the book is Treachery at Martinique Isle, Daughters of the High Seas, Book One. It's published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, barnesandnoble.com, or amazon.com. Rachel, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, the book. A little bit of an overview of the book, and it says book one here. You got a whole series planned. Tell us about the book and how you got started, and then an overview of it.
Okay. Well, the book is the first of a trilogy. The second book is actually out already, and I'm working on writing the third one, and I'm hoping that it will be out maybe next year. The story is based on a childhood pretend adventure, I guess, that my cousin and I made up. And when I went to college, my freshman year of college, I thought, you know, I bet this would make an interesting actual story that, you know, someone could actually sit down and read. And so I wrote it out, and it probably took me about 3 months to write it. And I first did a self-publishing edition of it back in 2009, I believe, and actually, no, probably 2005. And then this this edition with Tate, I got it submitted through them, and they accepted the manuscript, and it was published in 2011, and the sequel to it, the next book in the trilogy, was published in December 2014, so just a little over a year ago, and it follows the adventures of a set of twins back in the mid-1600s as they look for treasure and answers about themselves and things like that. So it's a young adult fiction, and I think people of quite a wide variety of ages have enjoyed the stories, but I would definitely say probably if lots of people try to ask me, you know, specifically what age group that it's for, and I would say probably it's probably for girls in the age range of the middle school to possibly high school age. But, you know, I wouldn't want to discourage other ages from reading it either.
As a young girl, you know, and we all live, it's part of the growth process. We live in this often this fairy tale world, this world of imagination. Did you find yourself consciously when you wrote this book, thinking back to your days as a young girl and maybe how much you love these fantasy movies and these fantasy books? Is that the derivation of it, or did it just pop into your head?
Well, I think it probably... The original concept of it kind of sprang from the story of Treasure Island, and then it just really took on a life of its own. And as I wrote the original story, when I sat down and wrote it, you know, I think that it was personal to me. Because it was something that I had partially developed in concept as a child, and I was taking that and I was you know, reshaping it into something that was actually a story instead of these, you know, these characters that we would, you know, pretend to be. And I don't know that at the time that I wrote it, I think Pirates of the Caribbean had just come out. And so I think maybe that had kind of got me thinking about it, helped me remember it and everything. And, I just thought, you know, if they can make a story like this, then certainly, you know, I think that this story would be worth making available to other people.
Rachel, you know, there's a lot of nonfiction contained in fiction, a lot of fiction contained in nonfiction, vice versa. Did you have to do any research into history to take real events, real happenings of the time, to be able to add a touch of realism to the story?
I did do research for stuff going on and how long it would take for certain types of transportation, travel, and things like that. I would say that probably there's more of that in the second, and there will be more of it in the third book, as far as tying in actual historical happenings into the storyline to help tie it to reality.
The characters, the principal characters, the same in each of the three books?
Yes.
All right. What was more difficult, character development or determining the storyline?
I really like the aspect of character development. It's challenging in its own way, but it's a challenge that I really like. So I don't find it overly difficult to develop the characters and to help them be who they are. But as far as the storyline goes, I would say that there are, you know, I make these kind of like point A, point B, point C type of deal, you know, these kind of moments in the story. And then, you know, we have to connect the, you know, they have to get from one point to the other. And I think that some of those transitional moments from point to point, I think those are the most difficult sometimes for me to write, to make it, to make the story not feel rushed or slow, or to not put just
all right. On that note, I want to thank you for bringing your story to the airways. Treachery at Martinique Isle, Daughters of the High Seas is book one, book two, book three by Rachel Cherie. It's spelled Cherie, Tate Publishing. Thanks so much, Rachel. Pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break and...
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, I'm opening a business next door.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. You know, Staples can print custom signs and banners to help get the word out.
Great, but I gotta watch every dime.
We have low prices every day. And with Staples Price Match Guarantee, you can always get the lowest price.
Perfect.
So when's the grand opening?
Yesterday.
I had no idea.
Neither did anyone else.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples, make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, this is Monica Crowley from Fox News Channel. I just did a fantastic interview with the great Stu Taylor. Stu, thank you so much. You are fabulous. Everybody listen to Stu Taylor.
Oh, boy, you know, I can't say I'm going to relive my experiences, every action, reliving the emotional experience in the past, because it was different when my daughters went to college. But the climate has changed, the culture has changed, the job field has changed. There's a whole different set of rules and parameters that govern what the best move is for you and your kids. I say for you and your kids, because you've got to cough up that big dollar. The book is There Is Life After College, What Parents and Students Should Know About Navigating School to Prepare for the Jobs of Tomorrow. It's published by William Morrow, and it's written by a distinguished guest, Jeffrey J. Selingo, spelled S-E-L-I-N-G-O. I do that in case people want to Google them. He's written about higher education for over 20 years and is a contributor for the Washington Post. He's got two previous books. His work has been featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, et cetera. He's appeared on ABC, CNN, PBS, NPR, and he's a special advisor and professor of practice at Arizona State University, and et cetera. It goes on and on. I'd like to introduce him to give people a little bit of aggravation, concern, and worry, and hopefully some optimism. Hey, Jeffrey, congratulations on the book, and nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
I want to give you two thoughts, because these are the two thoughts that first emanate from my mind here. Number one, it used to be that you went for a job interview and you said, here's what I've done. Now what are you going to pay to get me? You know, it was supply and demand on a different scope. The other is, boy, I'll tell you, I just got through. I went to a state college. I paid $6,500. I went to a private school and I paid even before that $2,000 or $3,000. I took a walk, as I mentioned to you during the break, around the Wellesley, Massachusetts campus college, you know, a la Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry to say, $61,000 a year. That's not unreasonable. Unknown colleges, $40,000 and up. What's going on? How can people sustain this? And what advice do you have, right? So it's a long question for kids who are thinking, I just can't afford the debt.
Well, it's pretty incredible. There's no doubt about it. You know, even though that's the sticker price, you know, not everybody pays the sticker price, but the discount's not that huge, right? It's not even half for most colleges. So it's becoming increasingly much more expensive for students and parents and families to pay for college anymore. But it's also one of those goods in life that you think, well, I have to do it. There's no doubt about it. I have to go to college in order to get a good job. And I think what the book lays out is a twofold argument. One is that's not necessarily true anymore. Just going to college does not necessarily get you a good job. In fact, 50% of recent college graduates are underemployed, meaning they're in jobs that don't require a bachelor's degree. You know, so they're working at Starbucks as a barista, which is the thing that you keep hearing about with today's college graduates is the stereotype. So that's number one, is that just because you go to college doesn't necessarily mean you are going to get a good job. And so the book lays out the strategies that you have to have while you're in college in order to get those jobs, you know, the experiential learning you have to have, including internships and so forth. But the book also lays out this idea that we need to rethink what we mean by education after high school. You know, 70% of high school graduates go right on to college the following fall. Only half of them actually end up completing college in 4 years, however, because many of them end up dropping out. They have some debt. and no degree, which really doesn't help them in the job market. So we need to think beyond college for some students, and that could include apprenticeships, that could include two-year colleges, that could include an increasing number of options for gap years, which gives students a chance to kind of explore their career interests at the same time as earning academic credit. But this idea that everyone should rush off to college 3 months after graduation, that's my advice to parents, is to really sit down and think about that, because you are about to make a very big investment, and if it doesn't pay off, that's going to be an investment that's wasted.
Yeah, I think a business school, because I have a daughter who got a master's in organic chemistry from Northwestern, and then she took off a year or two, and she took off to get a job, and then got her MBA at the University of Chicago in finance. It's an important component to being successful today, and what gets you into college is not just grades. I know a lot of kids from the affluent town I'm from who scored 800s on their college boards and can't get in. What else does it take? I mean, it's a two-part process. What decisions should you make, and going in, and how do you sustain the cost, and what do you do to get into these schools?
Well, increasingly, they are looking beyond test scores, especially more selective elite colleges. But in many ways, we talked about how hard it is to get into college. It's mostly hard to get into those elite selective colleges, the Stanfords of the world, the Wellesleys of the world. But that's about 200 schools out of the 4,000 we have in the country. Most colleges are essentially open admission, meaning that they, as long as you could breathe, you could, and pay the bill, you could get into courses. And why everybody wants to go to the elite institutions is that that's a signal that, it was hard to get in and you got in, so there must be something special about you. And so if you get a degree from there, the idea has always been, well, that must be a signal that you're ready for the job market. And increasingly, even from elite schools, employers are saying kids are not coming out, students are not coming out with the skill sets we need to succeed in today's workforce. And what they really want are what they call the soft skills, which I think should be called the hard skills because they're hard to teach. Communication, teamwork, problem solving, communications and written communications and verbal communications. Many students, even from the elite schools, can't do this. And that is why employers are increasingly saying we need other signals beyond the bachelor's degree, even one from an elite college, to tell me that you're ready to do this job.
What is your opinion? We see rapid transformations in society on a number of fronts. One is the increased, and I can't believe how many of these ads I see on television, the increased participation with online universities and getting degrees. Big, big money saver. Does it have any validity?
Yes, I mean, I think we tend to equate online with lower quality, and we also tend to equate it with these for-profit colleges and universities that popped up in the last decade or so. I think that the traditional universities that have gone into the online world, I think, do a very good job, especially for they're not for 18-year-olds. Most 18-year-olds don't want to go to school online anyway. They're really for a large number. We have one in four adults today in the country who have some college credit and no degree. So they're really for people like that who have some college credit, but they're time pressed. They're usually location based. They can't move to go back to college. It's a perfect opportunity for them to get that degree. But again, just like an 18-year-old, they have to make sure that degree is going to have some value in the marketplace afterwards. I think that people blindly have gone into higher education over the last decade thinking, as long as I have a degree, I'm going to be golden in this marketplace. And that's just not true anymore.
I love what you say. You lay this out. I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Plus, obviously, I don't have the knowledge and the research you put into writing this book. You talk about, you categorize three different groups, splinters, wanderers, and stragglers. Just give us a summation of what those three are.
Yeah, so basically, we used to think, again, that if you went to college, you were golden, right? And what I found, I took a survey for the book, a nationally representative sample survey of people in their mid-20s, and I wanted to find out, well, where are they in life, and what decisions did they make in college, before college, after college, that led them to the point they are? And so I put them in these three buckets. There's about a third, and a third. Sprinters are students who come right out of college. They go right into a job or right into graduate school. They're pretty sure of what they want to do, but that's only a third of students. Two-thirds of students are in the other two categories, which are the wanderers, which basically take half their 20s to get going and launching into life, and stragglers who take most of their 30s. The big difference between those three groups are internships. The work experience they have in college makes a huge difference. sprinters, 80% of them did at least one internship in college. Wanderers, only about half of them did, and stragglers, only about a quarter of them did. So you can see that this idea of just going to college, showing up to class, you know, people who wander through college end up wandering after college. And so the key is you have to not only get the classroom experience, but you also need to get that after the classroom experience. The other big difference between all three groups, debt. The more debt somebody had, the more likely they were to be a wanderer or a straggler. Why is that? Because after college, they have to take any job just to have some income coming in. So they're the ones who tend to be, you know, the nannies or the baristas. And they say, well, I'll do this for 6 months, and then I'll get a real job. And then they can't get a real job after 6 months or a year. And 3 years later, they're still doing it. Or they can't move to a new city or take a – you know, every job they look at is all focused on how much it pays because they have that debt hanging over their head.
Yeah, and thinking about how much it pays, I've encouraged kids for years, go and do the internship. Get the experience. The value is absolutely incredible because when you apply to college, they're going to want to look at those extracurricular activities and how ambitious you are. It's not just about numbers, is it?
No, it's not just about numbers. You know, you need to be, I talk in the book about you need to be a T-shaped person these days, which means you need to be broad in a number of different subjects. So you need to be well-versed because most jobs are not one activity. It's a mash of activities.
Let's talk about...
And you need to be deep in one thing as well.
Let's talk about in terms of education.
Life can be unpredictable. That's why you should take control of your family's future now with an estate plan bundle from LegalZoom. Not sure whether you need a last will or a living trust? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in 48 states can help you decide which one's right for you without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Plus, updating your estate plan as your family and assets grow couldn't be easier. Enjoy your life. Use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
A Napa guy knows the good thing about an old truck is you can treat it like an old truck, meaning however you want. Because the paint job looks best covered in mud. Dents build character, and unpaved roads are unscientifically proven to be 70% more fun. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep that thing running longer, stronger. Because it's not old. It's broken in. That's Napa know-how.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Real life stories of the Legal Exchange. Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
This is George Will. I've just had the pleasure and sheer fun of an interview with Stu Taylor. Hope you'll listen.
All right, we're back, and we'll round out today's show with a lovely guest, Laura Fedelia. That's F-E-D-E-L-I-A. Interesting title to the book. You ready for this? Thinking Outside the Quadrilateral Parallelogram. It's published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. Laura, welcome to the show. Laura, are you with us?
I am. Can you not hear me?
Interesting title for the book. I had to scratch my head. I'm sure there are some people who may recognize the terminology here. Focus on the title and tell everyone what this is about.
Well, Thinking Outside the Quadrilateral Parallelogram is the sequel to my first book, The Box. So it's meant to be a natural progression from the box to thinking outside of the box.
Okay, and how did you ever derive the idea or originate the idea to write this book? I mean, it sounds in a sense highly analytical. It also sounds extremely creative.
Well, thank you. How did the book come about? Well, the first book, The Box, is about it's a modern retelling of the Pandora myth, where I prove beyond a shadow of doubt that Pandora was framed. I think we've all kind of suspected for a long time, but I went ahead and proved it. And so Thinking Outside the Quadrilateral Parallelogram is about the fallout of that, because, you know, that revelation would kind of turn a lot of assumptions on their head. So this is what happens after all those assumptions have been disproved, and you discover that you've been kind of believing propaganda.
How about some of the characters in the book and the development of those characters? And the third part of this question is, are they the same characters in the book and in the sequel that you're going to have to this?
So the characters in the second book, they're big players in the first book. They're the daughters of Pandora, and so they're carrying on her legacy as guardians of hope for the world. And as you would imagine, there are a lot of subversive elements out there in the world who would like to get their hands on hope or an entity who might have some connection with hope. So there's a lot of development of their characters in that direction of at the end of the first book, they were pretty young and not really understanding what the overarching connections would be. And this is, you know, they're coming into themselves. They're teenagers, and being a teenager is tough enough as it is. But to add, you know, this legacy of being the guardian for hope that you inherited from your mother, that just kind of adds another layer to the mix. You've got to figure out who you're not before you figure out who you are. And they spend a lot of time doing that in the second book.
So are there other messages in the book, and to whom are those messages directed? What demographic?
Well, I like to think that this book would resonate with anybody, but I have been told that our demographic would be mostly female. The first book is probably going to appeal to a more mature audience, so I would say somewhere between women between 25 and 50. The second book actually would appeal to more teenagers and older. And I think the message of the first book is that people are always going to try to kind of steal your light from you. And that's what makes it important to guard against, because if somebody else is after it, it's pretty rare.
How many more of these will you be adding to the series?
There's going to be four books in total. I'm working on the third one now.
The experience, was there a difficult part to putting all of this together, or has it been a simple journey for you?
No, it hasn't been simple at all. I probably wasted a lot of time just writing stuff that was not going to get in either one of the books.
Yeah, but that happens with every book, and it's not really a waste of time. It's a waste of time if you don't do anything, my analysis. But go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. It is part of the process, because a lot, like I said, you know, part of growing up is figuring out who you're not before you figure out who you are. That's also part of the writing process, is figuring out what this book is not about so that you can narrow down the parts that are important.
How has the feedback been on this book? What have you heard from other people that perhaps make you stop and think, gee, I never thought of this?
I have discovered that you really lose a lot of control once your book is out there. In you know, you've written this thing, you think it's going to be interpreted one way, and then it's interpreted completely opposite of how you meant it. And you've got to be prepared for that. If you're not getting any feedback, that's really the problem. Even if you're getting feedback from people saying, I don't understand why you would go in this direction, this doesn't make any sense to me, at least they're reading it and you're making a point. And then I've got people who are saying, oh my God, this totally resonates. So many things make sense now as far as mythology goes, like what was Hope doing in that box with all those awful things in the first place? Doesn't even really make any sense. So it ties a lot of loose ends together as far as ancient Greek mythology goes. And then the second book kind of starts to create its own new mythology, which a lot of people are liking.
Got less than a minute here to go. I'd like you to make perhaps a concluding remark, something that we haven't covered during the interview that you'd like to say about the book.
Oh, gosh, no pressure.
Oh, you got about 20 seconds.
I would just love for anybody and everybody to let me know what they would think about it if they've gotten their hands on it.
All right. It's published through Tate Publishing. Again, the name of the book, I love the title, Thinking Outside the Quadrilateral Parallelogram. I start thinking outside it as soon as I look at the title. And I want to thank you so much for joining us, Laura Fidelia. Continued success. This is Stu Taylor thanking everybody for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.